Welcome, everyone. It's very good to see such a good turnout for this session. GIPC is very pleased to hold this insight session into eye care, an introduction. We will have lots of time for Q&A at the end, so we might start off with Di actually doing a quick presentation, and then we'll open up to questions after that. So I'm very pleased to introduce Di Liu. Hope I got the pronunciation right. So Di is an actuary at iCare. iCare, as some of you would know, was set up in 2015 to provide insurance to New South Wales. And it's relatively new, so I think we're all excited to hear about how iCare works and the role of the actuary in iCare. Di is an actuary at iCare, and prior to that he has been at KPMG and Zurich. He has huge amounts of experience with reserving, and he's also led teams of transformation across IT, actuarial and finance. So if I can ask everyone to join me in welcoming Di.
Thank you, Rashi. And thanks everyone for coming. So today, I'd like to take you guys through a very brief introduction to iCare. So today's agenda, so we'll quickly talk about a brief history about iCare, what our visions, our purpose is, what do we want to do. I'd like to share an iCare story with you guys, and then how do actuaries fit in the picture, so where do actuaries come in. So a brief history. In August 2015, as part of the reforms for compensation schemes in New South Wales, three distinct or discrete entities were formed. Insurance and Care New South Wales, iCare, State Insurance Regulatory Authority, CIRA, and Safe Work New South Wales. The point of forming the three really is to have three distinct roles. So previously, there were entities who were the regulator as well as the insurance operator, self-regulating. But now, as you can see, there's iCare, who's the insurance operator. There's CIRA, who's our regulator. And then there's WorkSafe New South Wales, or Safe Work New South Wales, who's the workplace safety regulator. Now, this is so that we have clear lines of who does what. And so this is what we see as kind of like... it's kind of what iCare is out to do. So if you actually look at what iCare is made up of, we're made up of dust diseases care. So that provides care and support for any worker who's suffered any dust-related diseases. There's lifetime care that covers anyone who's been involved in a motor car accident that's been severely injured, and will support them for life. There's self-insurance, which insures the state of New South Wales and all of its assets. And then there's home warranty, which sits in health insurance, so HBCF sits in there. There's workers insurance, which is workers' comp for New South Wales, and then there's sporting injuries, which supports the sporting organisations. So, iCare, our vision and our purpose, so why are we here? Our vision is to change the way people think about insurance and care, by providing them with world-class services to people, to businesses, and to the community. What do we actually do? Well, we protect, we insure, and we care for the people, businesses, and assets of New South Wales. We're committed to delivering high-quality services to our customers, and we're committed to developing people-centric design into our processes, our systems, and how we deal with people. That's actually quite a big change from what the entity was like before. So previously, our previous entities were very process-driven entities. It was very focused on process and was very mechanical. We're turning that around to try to focus on the people and the people we serve. And of course, all of this has to be balanced with financial sustainability so that we can keep caring for the future generations. And that's kind of become known as the iCare DNA. The commercial mind and the social heart. We're an organization that sits in the background. We hope you will never need us. But if you do, we will be there for you. So that's kind of our vision and purpose, but what are we actually trying to do? So we're trying to offer world-class customer experience. We're trying to achieve optimal life experience after injury, And that means, you know, tailored treatment and care for the specific individual. But not just that, but really empowering the individual to, for them to do more in life and also to contribute to the community. To have safer workplaces, prevention is always better than care. And to really engage with the community, to bring the community on board with us so that they can share our social values, share our goals, and help us to achieve our goals. Create an engaged, engaged, empowered, and capable workforce, so really staff, and to ensure we're financially sustainable so we can keep doing what we do for the generations to come and be easier to do business with. So I'd like to pause and just talk a bit about what world-class means for us. It's one of those really intangible things. You hear that a lot, but what does it actually mean for us? Our aspiration is to be the case study for injury schemes, to be successful and to be the case study so we can share our knowledge with other industry schemes, and to really produce the best outcome for our customers at the lowest cost, at the lowest premiums, and still have a financially sound eye care. And that's kind of what we aspire to do. So since we're talking about people, these are the relationships eye care has. If you actually look at it, it's pretty similar to an insurance company or a commercial insurance company. There are a few minor differences though. For us, we're subject to much more public scrutiny. We're always in the public light. And secondly, for an insurance company, if you made a large profit, that would be a good thing. For eye care, that would be a bad thing. Because we're actually aiming to produce the balance between the costs to the New South Wales community and caring for the New South Wales community. So the balance bit gets a bit more tricky for us. iCare, it's worthwhile mentioning, we're supported by our business partners to do a lot of our underwriting and our claims operations. So that's a lot about what we want to do. What have we actually done? So some of the achievements today for iCare, there's Back on Track. Back on Track is a program targeted at young, injured people. And we partnered them up with Paralympians to encourage and to inspire them to do more with their lives. One of the examples is Nathan. Nathan used to love football and water sports, and then he was involved in a car accident that left him as a paraplegic. He then took up waterboarding as a sport, but he was too scared to travel, so he couldn't really compete. And Nathan was partnered up with Nick Taylor, who's a wheelchair basketballer. And because the mentorship program, what Nick could provide to Nathan was the mentorship and the experiences of competing. So it really encouraged Nathan to get out there and compete. So Nathan actually overcame his fears and actually have started competing, and it's been great. And it's one of those examples where eye care is really in the community trying to empower the injured and how we are focusing on the people. Another one of these is the John Welch Center for Rehab Research. It's aimed at looking at research and bring that into practice. One thing that, as you might all know, John Welch is a very senior actuary. And he has done great work in this area and is really an inspiration to the profession. Other things we've done, we've got a lung screening truck bus thingy. What happens is we actually take the truck out to employers and go on site and we screen the workers for them. So helping the employers to do the health checks for their workers. And so this is one example of us providing people-centric services. We're helping the employers to actually check up on their workforce, and we're helping the workers so that should they need dust diseases care, we're there for them. I could go on, but there's a few other things we've done. Workers' comp. So if you're a new business, you can now get a direct quote and purchase workers' comp from iCare directly. There's the iCare Foundation. It's aimed at trying to link up services with people who need the services. So there's a lot of community services out there, and there's a lot of people that need them, but they can't always find each other. And iCare Foundation's goals are really to try to help the two to connect. And then there's Sargod on Kolarai, which is 17 fully equipped apartments for spinal injury victims and their family. And the goal of that is really to get them back into the community. So to really focus on them, give them an environment where they can slowly get themselves back into the community and to get their lives back on track. So that's a lot of me talking. What I'm going to do is show you a story where iCare has actually made a difference in people's lives. So it's just a short clip.
I'll never forget the date. It was the Friday morning on the 8th of August. And all I can remember about my accident was sitting in my driveway, thinking about what I was going to do for that day. I have no recollection of being hit. I cannot remember that. And I'm told that I probably never will. I only know what a lot of people have told me, that the young fellow had been seen coming through the village of Currajong at 120k. As he came past the primary school, which was just down the road, they saw him and raced in to ring the police, but unfortunately, he hit me in my driveway. I was airlifted to Westmead Hospital. That's the thing I wish I do remember, because I've always wanted to ride in a helicopter, and I can't remember it. My daughter Sarah was coming into Darwin Harbour after being at sea for a month, and she got a telephone call saying, Mum's been in this horrific accident and she will not leave the night, which is what they were all told. From what I'm told, I didn't wake up for about 4 or 5 weeks. I have no recollection of getting into hospital, except I woke up and saw my brother sitting at the end of the bed. Now, my brother, since he retired, is working for an undertaker in Grafton. Peter was sitting at the end of the bed with a tape measure around his neck. And I just said, no, I don't want to be in heaven yet. I'm not ready to come. I still didn't know then that I had brain damage. I couldn't work out why I was there until the brain surgeon spoke to me and said that where he hit me severely has done a lot of damage to your brain. Altogether, I was in hospital a bit over 3 months. I won't say I liked being there. All I wanted to do was come home to my house and to my dogs and my family. When I first came home, I wasn't able to come back here to the house. I'd spend a week at my youngest daughter Sarah's, she lives at Bilpin, and my eldest daughter Rachel lives in the village, so I'd go between the two. And I was getting a bit sick of that, and all I really wanted to do was come home here to this house, which I eventually did when Lifetime Care said, we're going to look after you. The carers were all good, they were all great. My housework was done, I had a gardener, I had a physio, I had a dietitian, you name it, I had it. And gradually, as I improved, they dropped the care down to 3 days a week. I don't knit or sew or do any things that probably normal people do. My idea of turning off is to go and spend a couple of hours in the veggie garden. But after I had my accident, because my backyard is so steep, Lifetime Care also built me a vegetable garden, which I've got in my front garden. In the last 3 months, I've become very involved in Rotary and my local church up here, the Anglican Church. I bought myself a little car and had driving lessons with a guy who was about my age, Gary, so he drove me all around back blocks of Penrith. That next stage in my life was to be a celebrant. So last year, I did 3 weddings and funerals. This is what I really would like to be doing. I've been doing a lot of public speaking, and I mean a lot. I'm doing at least 1 Rotary Club a week, talking about aphasia, which is what I had. And I just say, be very positive. You've got to get up first thing in the morning and be thankful that you're still here. Don't choose to sit on the bottom of the well. Climb to the top and get out of the well.
Sorry, I do always get a bit emotional when I see that video. To me, that video really highlights the value of the work that we do. It really highlights the benefits that an insurance can provide the community. To me, it's kind of why insurance exists in the community, whether you're commercial or whether you're a not-for-profit. And I mean, with that, I'll probably talk about some of the differences I've felt since I've joined iCare. As a social insurer, we're here for the people of New South Wales. We're not here for profit. We measure ourselves by the lives we change. We put people at the center of everything we do. This makes iCare an organization with values and purpose that is very easy for everyone to get behind. And when that happens, it leads to teams that are highly motivated, extremely energetic, and it's one of the most friendly, energetic, and collaborative work environments I've ever been in. Everybody knows what we're out here to do and what our purpose is. I mean, one of the other achievements, since iCare's inception, the Net Promoter Score for iCare has improved significantly, both for the internal staff and for customers. That's actually quite a rare achievement for any organization. Usually you see improvements in one or the other, you don't see it in both. So I'm quite proud of that, actually. So anyway, onto something that we're more comfortable with, numbers. I'll talk quickly about some of the numbers that iCare pretty much represents. We represent 3.1 million workers protected, 60,000 new claims in the last financial year, so workers that need us. And for workers' insurance, it works just like any workers' insurance. You buy, take out a policy, and that's pretty much it. It's funded through premium. For lifetime care, we have 1,100 participants or so. And what's interesting is 52% of them are in regional New South Wales, and that has implications on how we provide the care. Some stats on what kind of injuries usually they sustain. It's mostly traumatic brain injury, and then the second largest is spinal cord injury. Self-insurance. I'll go back to lifetime care. Lifetime care is actually funded through a levy on CTP premiums. We stipulate the amount we need to CIRA, and then CIRA decides how that will get funded. Insurance, so self-insurance, there's $180 billion of assets that we insure. And yes, that includes the Harbour Bridge and the Opera House. So we pretty much cover the whole of New South Wales with a very few exceptions. And when I say cover, I mean all state government and all of state government's risks. You think of it, you can name it, we cover it. HBCF, so we cover about 17,000 builders. And what that really covers is for homeowners who take on a building job, and if the builder defaults or disappears on them, and there's a problem with the building, we'll be there for them to look after them. Dust diseases care, there's 3,000 dependents that we're looking after, whose partners or parents have died from a dust disease. We do about 4,000 monitoring examinations, and Dust Diseases Care also fund research into dust diseases. And for those who don't know, Dust Diseases Care is a pay-as-you-go scheme. So there's a levy on workers' comp every year, and it works on a pay-as-you-go system. What does that all add up to? That adds up to a very large iCare. We've got $32 billion worth of assets and $26 billion of liabilities and about $5 billion of revenue. The numbers are quite staggering, to be honest. Anyway, how do actuaries fit in all of this? So one of the key roles for actuaries is really about financial sustainability and supporting the business with insights as the business undergoes its transformation in providing the world-class experience that we want to provide. For us, a dollar isn't just a dollar. It could mean better treatment, it could mean better quality of life for injured workers, for injured motorists, for pedestrians. It could mean less cost to the businesses of New South Wales and the motorists of New South Wales. I've always been told actuaries are a professional. And the difference between a professional and an expert is that professionals, we have a duty to community. You really do feel that at iCare every day. our duty to community. You see it every day, and it's twofold as well. It's not just to the claimants and the participants, but it's also to the businesses and the motorists. We need to balance the benefits we provide and how much we cost New South Wales. iCare is supported by an internal team and quite a few external actuarial consultants. I won't name you guys all, but thank you guys for all your support. What do actuaries do? Well, what do we don't do? We do basically everything a normal, you know, actuarial function would do for an insurance company: reserving, pricing, claim experience analysis, treatment analysis, impacts of proposed changes. Kind of what actuarial contributions have we made so far? Well, all right. So, but apart from reserving, pricing, budgeting, capital funding ratio, monitoring, agent REM, in-depth claim analysis, treatment effective analysis, impact analysis for proposed changes, what have the actuaries ever done for us? Well, we've actually helped in asset management last year. So this is, if you remember last year, there was quite a volatile period in the market. And we were, our chief actuary was very heavily involved in asset management. What it resulted is in a better investment outcome. And so I suppose more money for the claimants and less to charge the businesses. Visualizing metrics. So it's really helping the other teams of iCare to see what's going on, turning numbers into visualized things. Well, that involves things like working with HR, so they know about performance metrics and how people can be measured to performance metrics, what the scheme will look like in the future, and board reporting. So really try to put visuals rather than just figures. And there's a lot more to come in the future. As we support the iCare transformation, there's going to be, the need for insights are going to be huge. We're going to have to support the transformation all the way through. And I mean, to be fair, we also have to adapt to the changing landscapes of New South Wales. Things are changing at a very rapid pace. The workforce of New South Wales is changing. What does that mean for iCare? What does that mean for the workers? There's automation going on in all of the fields, self-drive cars, drones. What does that actually mean for us? There are advances in cure. So what happens when we cure spinal cord injury, if it happens? So really what I'm trying to say is there's quite a lot to do in the future, and we don't know what the future holds. And with that, thank you for listening to me. And if you want to find out more, go on our website and check us out. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And with that, we'll move on to questions.
Thank you so much. That was fascinating and very emotional as well. So we'll open up to questions. Here we go.
Michael Sturge from Covermore Travel.
Hi, Michael.
Might be a bit of a easy question, but is there any much of an overlap between what iCare does in the lifetime care and the NDIS?
So lifetime care is part of iCare. I suppose there is an overlap between lifetime care and NDIS. But if you think about the purpose, I mean, the purposes and goals are very similar. It's about caring for the disabled people or people with a disability and really empowering them to do more in the community. So our goals are very similar. I suppose who we cover are different. So lifetime care will look after the motor accidents. And then the NDIS is a federal scheme, as I understand, to cover basically all of the gaps in the coverages in the state systems. So yes, our goals are the same, but we cover different segments. Any more questions?
Could you maybe talk a little bit about, you talked about all the assets that iCare covers, including the Harbour Bridge and Opera House. How is that, is that retrocession or reinsurance in place to kind of further provide cover?
We do have a reinsurance program for self-insurance. It's It covers quite a lot of things, including catastrophes, catastrophes as well as terrorism and various other things. So yes, the state assets, Harbour Bridge, Opera House are covered by us firstly, and then if the losses are huge, reinsurance will kick in.
So Alex Kwa from Covermore.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. Just wanted a question around, you've got basically different classes of insurance which you're offering. Are they separately funded or are they all kind of end up being pulled together? Because you're saying the CTP scheme, for instance, funds lifetime care.
Yeah, so that gets a bit complex. So they're separately funded. So workers' insurance is workers' insurance. LTCS is LTCS. Dust diseases is dust diseases. And then for self-insurance, I've kind of just summarized it into self-insurance. There's actually a few funds in self-insurance that looks after various components of the self-insurance. So yeah, they are separately funded.
Cool, thank you.
Sorry, Josh from MNG. You mentioned that profit for eye care is not a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just not familiar with the whole concept, but what do you mean by having profit? Is that experience profit? And like, what do you do about it?
I suppose by profit, I mean the classical sense, actually you've collected more money than you need for your operations and your claims. For us, I mean, we don't want to be costing the community more than they have to, and that's why profit is a bad thing. It's kind of the balance to strike between, you know, your employers and your motorists who pay their levies and so on and so forth, and also then providing the care, the support, and the benefits to the injured workers and the participants. We want to achieve that balance, so the best outcome for both sides. Making a profit is not in our targets. If anything, if we are costing the community too much, or if we hold too much assets, we'll be seen as being inefficient.
Hi, I'm Angela from Finity.
Angela.
I'm interested in knowing how big the eye care operation is and how big the actuarial team is.
I might need help on that one. So iCare covers the whole of New South Wales. We've actually got office locations all across New South Wales. So it's not just Metro Sydney. We actually are in various regional areas as well. The iCare, it's hard to define how big iCare is because we do have so many business partners that support us on underwriting, that support us on claims. So I don't know. Does anyone from the iCare team know the staff numbers for direct staff employees?
Hi, Jennifer Deng from iCare. I don't know the exact numbers for all of the teams, but some of the teams are quite big. For instance, workers insurance might be close to 200 staff alone. The service lines, LTCS is quite established as well, quite a few staff there. So kind of an indication of how big it is.
So short answer is I don't know, but the long answer is you can't actually just count iCare staff. Everybody that supports iCare needs to be counted. The actual team, so our current team is a team of 13, the internal team. The external teams, well, I think you're in a better position to tell me. There's quite a lot of external consultants that we're engaged with, and you guys actually support us through many of the tasks I've listed that we do. So then again, it's the internal team, yeah, 13, but the actual numbers are a lot larger than that.
Andrew McInerney from Finity.
Andrew.
You've spoke about how you're on this journey to be world class. What does the rest of the business view as the role of the actuary in helping you get there on that journey?
It's kind of the really to try to provide them as much support and insight as they can to enable them. So if you think of us, we're kind of an enabler on the transformation journey. So really to provide the insights they need so that they can do the transformation. To, you know, we kind of know what the questions that need to be answered are. So then collecting the right data, doing the right analysis, and then providing the right insight and support to the business so that they can then carry out that transformation to really achieve what we aim to do.
Hello, I have two questions. The first question is, when on your earlier slides you said CIRA is now your regulator. Mm-hmm. So can you just tell us a bit of differences how CIRA regulates a normal private insurer versus iCare?
I can't really speak for CIRA, to be honest.
Relationship with them, what are the areas they concentrate on when they work with you?
So, I mean, my experience with CIRA has been very limited. I was involved with HBCF's premium filing. So CIRA is the regulator who kind of looks at the premium filing and then approves of that. So from that experience, it's not really that different, CIRA regulating on iCare or CIRA regulating on the private insurers. I've seen CTP filings before and felt very similar.
And my second question is, we talked about profit earlier, so with most statutory schemes around Australia, any profit may go to back to the government as a dividend. For iCare, if that's the case, what about the other areas that you might spend your profit on, if you like, for iCare?
So there's quite a lot of work to be done in terms of improving the outcomes for our claimants and for the injured workers and for the injured motorists. There's quite a lot of transformation happening and in the pipeline. I think we're relatively in a good position where we've got some balance at the moment. So it hasn't really occurred in terms of the, you know, this massive profit that needs to sit somewhere. I'm not familiar enough with the legislation, but I'm not sure if the New South Wales government can tap into some of these funds. The Workers Fund is a separate fund, Dust Diseases Fund is a separate fund, they're all separate funds. I suppose self-insurance is more government related, where they're funded through contributions. So then, you know, if they have good claims experience, then that'll be a saving to the government.
Hi, Phil Morley from Swiss Re.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. You've very neatly summarised the role of the actuary in terms of improving value for money for society by centralising these claims once they occur. You might have skipped over it deliberately, but what role does iCare or what role does the actuary have in iCare to feedback insights about how you might prevent claims happening in the first place, risk management and risk avoidance?
That wasn't deliberate skip over. I suppose in terms of injury prevention, it's again looking at the data we have and then, you know, actually assisting the business on how they will do injury prevention. If you actually either go on our website or go on YouTube, among the iCare stories, there are two stories on injury prevention. We have an injury prevention team that goes out there and looks at businesses and see how they can prevent injuries. From our perspective, it's really the support their needs for insights. So it's kind of what do they need to know for them to do their job from the data perspective, and we'll be there to do it for them.
Jamie Reid, thanks for the presentation. Just wondering how you balance providing a world-class customer experience with having processes to minimise fraud and leakage, and also if there's a role for actuaries in minimising leakage.
So that's a very good question. This is where it's work in progress, but from an actuarial perspective, I'll come from the actuarial perspective. It's kind of we know that there are a large proportion of claimants that will behave, and they will really, you know, be a simple light touch, or if they will really need the requirements for us to be heavily involved and support them. It's for us to collect the data and then investigate the data to see who's who. And then when fraud sits into the same kind of bucket, it's the when they start exhibiting behaviours that are strange, we'll get more heavily involved and, you know, hopefully catch out the fraud and the leakage.
Hi, Charlene from Allianz.
Hi.
So we have the different industries or categories like workers, self-insurance and dust diseases, etc. From your understanding or your perspective, where do you see some future changes coming? And if you are allowed to talk about it, what those could be, improvements coming that is in the future or very near future maybe?
Okay. So one of the things that we're looking at doing is really, we've pulled together these various different schemes, and it's currently the, how do we provide a consistent service to our customers? Everyone does something that's a little bit different. There's a lot of process. How do we simplify that, and how do we, to the customer, appear consistent? So for example, dust diseases care is care, lifetime care is care. So we kind of see them as a care unit. Then there's workers' insurance, and then self-insurance, or a large part of the portfolio is also workers' insurance. So are there practice differences? Are there learnings from the teams? How can we leverage the learnings and what we're doing right? And then when we do go on our transformation, it's about providing that consistent customer service. I hope that answers your question. Hi, Chris.
I was just wondering whether the iCare, the organisational aspect of it, changes much when governments change.
I don't know, is the short answer. I suppose if you think about the earlier slide about our vision and our purpose, that doesn't really change. We're here to do what we're here to do. Our vision and our purpose won't really change. Of course, we are heavily involved with the government, being a government organisation. So there is a lot of, I suppose, relationships with the government and dealings. So, I mean, it's a heavier involvement than a private insurer. But in terms of the call of what we are here to do and why we are here, I don't think that changes. That's it. Thank you. Thank you guys for coming.
Thanks.